This morning, we know this is Mother's Day, and we want to honor our mothers this morning and wish to you a very good day. We pray that all will be well with you, that your family will be with you, and that you can enjoy this day in a great way. You know, the whole world, for the most part, pauses at one time or the other to honor mothers. It's not always done on this day like it is here in our country. But in almost every civilized land, a day is set aside to honor our mother. You know, Mother's celebration goes back a long way. It actually goes back into the days of the Greeks and the Romans. They actually held festivals in honor of what they had at that time. They called their mother goddesses, the goddess Rhea and the goddess Celebi. And they particularly honored these false gods is what they were, but it wasn't in a way to honor motherhood, which gives life, of course, to all. The first known modern precedent for Mother's Day comes from the United Kingdom in England and Ireland and Wales. They had a Christian festival known as the Mothering Sunday, and it was a major tradition among the United Kingdom to honor their mothers. In fact, many of the domestic workers had to work on Sundays, and they were always given the day off so that they could spend their time with their mothers. In America, the concept of Mother's Day began with a lady by the name of Ann Reeves Jarvis, and these were in the days before the Civil War. She actually instituted a group of workers in a club to try to teach the local women how to care for their children and how to deal with the unsettling days of the Civil War. These clubs later unified into a force to go before the United States government and the Confederacy government to try to ease the tension between North and South in a domestic way and in the family way. Following her death in 1905, her daughter, Anna Jarvis, began the first official Mother's Day celebration, and this happened in Grafton, West Virginia, at a Methodist church that was there at that time. This church still stands today in West Virginia, and along with the enshrine there, honoring Mother's Day that began there at that particular place. And this is really the beginning of what we know, as far as history goes, Mother's Day and the establishment of it. Today, we're going to talk about mothers, and we're going to talk about Mother's Day. And we want to examine some mothers that are mentioned throughout the Scripture this morning. First of all, let's see what the Bible actually says about mothers. The mothers are naturally inclined to love their children. Now, I know I say that, and that is not always the case. We can all think in our minds of situations where children are neglected because their mothers and fathers have neglected them. But generally speaking, mothers have always been inclined to love and to care for their children. Paul talked about this natural tendency that should actually be a part of our Christianity. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, "But we were gentle among you." Paul's talking about him and his work with the church. "We were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us." Now, what Paul is doing here, he is paralleling the work that he is doing and the love that he gives to the church, and he is comparing it to the love that a mother will give to her child. And we can all understand that. So, you know, it's a wonderful thing to have this type of love for someone else, particularly for your own family. Like I said before, generally, it's not always the case. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 2 through 5, Paul gives us a list of perilous men. If you look at it on the screen, you will see the words that words such as lovers of money, lovers of themselves, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of men. And you know, as he is going through this list, we find this word, unloving. Now, I don't know about you. When I think of someone that is unloving, I think of someone who generously just does not care. Does not care for those around her, even those who are in their family. And unfortunately, we can all think of probably people who are indeed this way. You know, Titus, in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, speaks of the older women, Paul telling the older women how they can be helpful to their children, that they should admonish the younger women that to love their husbands and to love their children. There are so many ways that we can express our love for each other. And if you think about your childhood and growing up and the many different ways that love was shown to you from your parents, it is a wonderful thing to know that we were the recipients of such wonderful love. You know, we are to honor our mothers. We read in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, we honor our parents by obedience to them. In fact, Paul said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long upon the earth." So we are given this commandment by God to honor our mothers and our fathers. Now, he didn't say create a day like we have done today to set aside to honor our mothers. And the reason for that is that when we set aside a day to do anything, that's generally the only day that we do it. Honoring our parents is something that we should do every day. And I know many of us in this room are like myself. We honor our parents who have gone on. But the honor is still there. We talked about that this morning in our Bible class, that we actually carry traits and attributes that we receive from our parents. And it's a wonderful thing that we do that. You know, Solomon, he said that hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. That's how we honor them. We honor them through our love in return because of their love for us. And we've already read some of the excerpts from The Virtuous Woman in Psalm 31, but in verse 28, Proverbs 31, but in verse 28, it says that her children rise up and call her blessed. And again, that is just another way to honor our mothers. You know, a mother's role has a tremendous influence on what we will become as children. And if you think about it, you probably will see that you do a lot of things, say a lot of things, have a lot of attitudes that you learn from your parents. I know that's true with me. I find myself saying things that my daddy would have said and doing things that my daddy would have done. In fact, my wife will remind me periodically, that's just like Mitchell Hamner. And he was quite a character, let me tell you. But I learned a lot from him. And she learned a lot from her parents. And I see a lot of that in her. And that's a good thing. Because they have instilled in us the important things in our lives. So for the remainder of our time today, I want us to take note of some mothers from the Bible. Like I said, not all mothers were godly. Not all mothers did the right thing. We're all familiar with this character from the Bible, aren't we? The name of Jezebel. You know, I don't know anybody who gave their child the name Jezebel when they were born. Jezebel was a very difficult person indeed. Her son Ahaziah became king when Ahab died. And it says that he was wicked in the house of Ahab. In fact, 2 Chronicles 22 and verse 3 says he also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother advised him to do wickedly. She was the reason that he was the way he was. Scriptures tell us that she influenced him to the point that he was not a good king, he was not a godly king, because she taught him to be wicked. Another example is Herodias. We remember the story of Herodias. At Herod's birthday, she had her daughter to dance for the king. And he was so impressed with her that he told her that he would give her anything that she wanted. And her mother, by the way, the girl's name was Salome. A lot of folks don't know that. Her mother, Herodias, goes to her and says, "Tell the king you want the head of John the Baptist." And so she did. And that was the reason the life of John the Baptist came to an end when it did, because the king honored the request that initially came from the evil mother, Herodias. Then we have, and you wouldn't think of this as being evil, Rebekah. We think of Rebekah, Isaac's wife, and he chose her and worked so hard for so many years to have her as his wife. And she turned on him. And she turned on her first son, which was the oldest of twins, Esau. You know, she taught Jacob to lie and to deceive his father, to steal Esau's birthright. So, you know, these are but three examples that the Bible gives us of mothers who were not godly mothers, but who took advantage of their children or taught their children wicked ways in life. But there are indeed some godly mothers throughout the Scripture. The first one I want to talk about is Jochebed. Jochebed was the mother of Moses. We find this story in Exodus chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. We find that Pharaoh had ordered the execution of every male child 2 years and younger in the land of Israel, because he had heard of a coming king. Jochebed hid Moses in a small basket, placed it in the river. Pharaoh's daughter found the baby and commissioned his own mother, Jochebed, to care for him while he was raised in Pharaoh's house. Now, you know, this is a wonderful example of a mother's love. This is that natural affection that mothers tend to have toward their children. A willingness to sacrifice. That means that you're willing to take extreme measures to see to it that your child is taken care of. And that's exactly what Jochebed did. Even though it is not directly mentioned, it instilled a lot of Moses from the example that came from her. In Hebrews 11, verse 23, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command." They were determined that Moses was going to survive this law that was to put him to death. And you know what would have happened to Jochebed and the father if they had been caught doing this deed. It was a wonderful thing. It was faith on her part, faith coming into action. She did not fear Pharaoh. She did not fear what could happen to her if she done this thing. You know, it is more often the mother who will act immediately before the father when need comes. It is usually the mother who gets up in the wee hours of the night to feed the child or to care for the child who wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning. It is more often the mother who will stay up with the child when the child is sick. It is generally the mother who will clean up the constant messes that is made by the child. She will make any sacrifice to take care of that child. And this is what Jochebed did. You know, when you think about Moses and the tremendous influence that he had upon the children of Israel, going into Egypt, bringing the children of Israel out, taking them in a long trip to the land of Canaan, all of these things that Moses did and the characteristics of his life, where did it all begin? Right here with this lady, this wonderful mother who not only saved his life, but taught him as a child, even though he lived in the house of Pharaoh. It all began with Jochebed. Next, we have Hannah. We all love the story of Hannah. Hannah is found in 1 Samuel chapter 1. We find Israel is now in the period of the judges. It was a very difficult time for Israel during this time of life. The book of Judges, in Judges 21 and verse 25, it says that in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Boy, can you imagine if we did it that way today? Well, I think we pretty much do, don't we? Yeah. Our society, our lives have become so chaotic and so messed up religiously and even morally because everyone basically does what's right in their own eyes. This was the way it was at the time of Hannah. Hannah was married to a man by the name of Elkanah. Hannah was barren. She had not had children. And as a result of this, she was provoked, laughed at, scoffed, ridiculed by others for that reason. And even though she was greatly loved by Elkanah, she wanted a child. And we read in 1 Samuel 1 verse 11 that she makes a vow to God that if he would give her a child, she would give this child back to him as a servant to serve him all the days of his life. You know, now we're going to learn from this story what sacrifice really is. Because she is in the temple and she is praying. Sad prayer because of this situation that she is in. And the priest Levi sees that she is praying. And he goes to her and he blesses her and he tells her that God is going to honor her request and give her a child. And in time, that's exactly what happens. She gives birth to Samuel. And the name Samuel actually means God has heard. God heard the prayers for her. After the child is weaned, she takes him to Eli, and she dedicates him to the Lord, just like she said that she would do. And he remains with Eli, and he is taught by Eli, raised by Eli. Hannah would go and visit with him every year and bring him a robe, a gift for him. But basically, he now belongs to God and to his servants. Eli blesses Hannah again. And she has 5 more children. You know, with Hannah, we find this godly mother. This mother who is willing to sacrifice. This mother who is willing to give herself for her children. You know, godly parents will be concerned about their children. I'm afraid that that's not so much the case today. We find parents today are more concerned about the material things of life, the money that they can make, the land that they can own, the good things, the pleasures, the toys that they can have. And they always, for some reason, seem to put the children down on that list of priorities. You don't see that here with Hannah. Her number one priority was for her child. Godly parents will do that. Hannah knew what was the most important thing for her and her devotion. It was God, and she used her son to help expand her love for God in giving the child to the Lord. Samuel would go on to anoint kings. He anointed King Saul. He anointed King David. He went on to intercede for Israel as a priest. And it all began because of this one lady who loved her child, who wanted that child and dedicated her child to the Lord. And then we have Lois and Eunice, the grandmother and the mother of Timothy. You know, and Timothy begins his final letter, which was to Timothy in 2 Timothy. He makes mention of Timothy's mother and grandmother. And he commends their efforts to instill faith in God within him. You may note that he commends the faith. First of all, he commends the faith of Timothy. Timothy has a tremendous amount of faith for God, and he is a tremendous worker in the kingdom. But Paul goes on to say that first dwelt in your mother and your grandmother. You see, Lois lived in faith. And she taught this faith to her daughter Eunice. Eunice lived in faith and taught this to her son. You know, we often talk about the importance of an example. And the best way to teach this is to open doors for other people that they can learn to love Christ as well. Jesus called it letting your light shine. In fact, he tells us in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And let me tell you this, Mommy and Daddy, this goes back to you and how you bring up your children and how you teach them right from wrong and how to live their lives. Children are going to spend the majority of their time, their formative years, with their parents. Believe me, you will teach them far more than any school teacher will ever teach them. Oh, they may teach them intelligence and knowledge, but you will teach them how to live. You will teach them how to conduct themselves. Well, really what you're going to do is to teach them how you do it. And we must be careful as parents that we do it right. Because if we don't do it right, the child won't either. We have to be careful about that. It doesn't take long for a child to figure out who loves them. It doesn't take long for a child to figure out who, where, when, and how they are loved. Children will see hypocrisy in the homes. Child understands goodness. Even the infant understands goodness and love. And as far as Timothy goes, we don't know much about his father. We know that he was a Greek. But we know that Eunice was Jewish. And we know that she believed and was able to influence Timothy in such a wonderful way. According to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, Timothy from childhood knew the scriptures. You know, I remember as a child, the church where I grew up, we had a little children's class right before the evening service. And we would all run up and get on the front pew. And the preacher would get up there and he would sing with us the little church children's songs. And he would teach us to learn the books of the Bible. He would teach us to be able to quote certain scriptures that a child could learn and remember. And I remember those days so well. And I also remember at home at night, my mother would sit down in the rocking chair and I would get in her lap. And she pulled out the children's Bible, and we read every night before I went to bed. And I give a lot of credit to that as to why I stand here today and talk to you, because it was instilled in me. And I do hope, young mothers and fathers, that you can see the importance of that and give that to your children. Because if they don't have it from you, chances are they'll never get it. Because you, again, will influence them far more than anyone else. You know, these are but just a few of the qualities that come from a godly mother. An influence that is so powerful in their lives. We certainly ought to thank God for motherhood. And as individuals, we need to thank God for our mothers. And not just do it today, but do it every day. It is a great honor that we bestow on our mothers today. The lives of the great men that we have talked about and all of their accomplishments for the Lord, it all began with a godly mother. Now, even though we can influence them, we can teach them, we can help them to make the right decisions, the decision has to be yours. We can teach, but you have to listen. You have to hear. You have to obey. You have to respond in the way that Joshua did. He said, if you want to serve, and he was talking to the whole nation of Israel, if you want to serve the gods on the other side of the river, go ahead. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Something tells me, and Joshua's mother is never mentioned in Scripture, but something tells me he knew this thought, and it went back to his childhood, because he was one of the two original people that left Egypt and walked into that land of Canaan, because he had been taught to do it the right way. This morning, my friends, if you are not a Christian, you need to decide today to give your life to Christ. And it may be that you were fortunate like me and you had parents that promoted Christianity. You had a mother that would sit down and read to you from God's word and teach you the right way to do things. Or it may be that you didn't have that advantage, but through your own knowledge and your own understanding, you understand what God expects of you to be his child, to live as his child, to serve as his child. And you need to make that move today. And we want to give you that opportunity. It may be that you are a Christian today and that you've done these things and you've done the right thing. But for some reason or the other, you have walked away from God. You can come back to God today. You can give your life to him again and let him be the greatest part of your life. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please do so as we stand and sing.